Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Wise Men Say podcast. We're continuing our build-up to the League One playoff final. I am Richard Easterbrook. Back in 2020, we did a season review with Kevin Phillips. We're just going to go and play out 15 minutes or so, which focuses specifically on the 1998 playoff final. On the pod that day, it was myself, there was Gareth Barker, Stephen Goldsmith and Craig Clark. If you want to listen to the whole episode, it's available on our website, wisemensay.co.uk. If you just head to the pandemic podcast section, and you'll find that and loads of other bits and pieces, so give it a listen. But for now, here's the section about the playoff final.
When we got the final, I remember like the obviously queuing for the tickets.
Yeah.
Like you had to queue for hours to get the ticket.
People were camping out to get the ticket for the final. If you had a season ticket, you were guaranteed a ticket.
You were, I think, but you still had the queue.
So I didn't have a season ticket. I used to go with this like the kids club thing, and you used to meet at the ticket office before the game and take you in and everything. But it meant I wouldn't have got a ticket for the final. But for some reason, my sister had three season tickets for the same seat. So we just used like a voucher for each one, so I would go. She locked at the centre of a replacement or something, and then she had this other random one that the centre. I have no idea what. More great admin.
So basically,
just a bit of light fraud.
I had a season ticket for about five games, and your sister had three.
She was swimming in them, yeah.
Aye, as well.
Yeah, it was all reserve games she was going to. So you
fair
know,
play, like, yeah.
She beat the system for that player.
I've listened to
Alan Kirby do a couple of podcasts recently where he was talking about the playoff game, which of course we all know what happened in that. And I'm not having what he was hitting at here, Kevin, was that Charlton had finished that season really, really well. I think they won like eight in a row or something to finish the season. And he was almost suggesting that Sunderland underestimated them going in, but I'm not having that from Peter Reid.
No chance. No, we Peter Reid wouldn't let us do that. You know, there's no way we'd underestimate any team. I think we finished 2 points above them in the end, I think in the table, 3 points, something like that. So, yeah, it was close, but we never underestimated them at all. You know, that had nothing to do with the result. Of course, we all know, you know, what happens with the result, and obviously Michael. But, no, we played them twice. We knew what they were all about. We did our homework. We did our teamwork. So we were prepared. But believe me, you know, a one-off game at Wembley, you can prepare all you like. We had a young team. You know, I'd never played at Wembley. You know, it's an experience for me. You know, a lot of the other players had never played there. You know, the only one, I think, was Niall. Niall scored for the Republic of Ireland, I think, there against England. So he'd played for Arsenal a couple of times there before. So I think I think Lee Clark might have played there. So, yeah, to suggest that, no, that would never happen with a Peter Reid. I never saw it in the whole time I played under him. Never underestimated anyone.
What's going on for you, Mike? That, there's so many things for you that week leading up to it. So you play at Wembley for the first time, which must be the dream of every kid playing football. There's a chance to take something in the Premier League. There's the goal scoring thing again. There's a lot going on for you.
Yeah, I think it was just I couldn't when that whistle went in the second leg of the playoff. You know, it was just elation. You know, emotions come out. you know, we got a second crack at it. Of course, we didn't go up automatically. Then you think you've got another crack at it. So I couldn't wait to play in that game. But we had to wait 10 days, and I came off in that game, I think, Sheffield United with a dead leg, or I got a dead leg in that game, and I couldn't train a lot before the game. I think I only trained about 3 days before, so I hadn't done a lot of work. But you're right, you know, there was a lot of pressure, not just on me, but on the whole team. From a personal point of view, yeah, you're right. You know, to play at Wembley was just incredible. It was my dream as a kid. And I think more so, my sister played there about 3 years before in a women's game, and she never let me forget that she played at Wembley before me. So, but she never scored, so I was desperate to score, of course, to get one back on her, and of course to beat Brian Clough to record, and to try and, you know, I was dreaming about scoring a winning goal to take Sunderland to the Premier League, and for a while it looked like it was going to happen, but. You know, I could never envision it was going to turn out the way it did. So it was a remarkable game, but a very, very upsetting, disappointing game.
I mean, what's that like, though? I mean, obviously the end was horrific, but in the game itself, to score that goal, I mean, what was that like to score that goal? Because I remember when we got the equaliser, Vinny, just after half time. I remember Pete was still celebrating in that end when we kicked off. It was just that, because I think we were so poor in that first half, and I think everyone was just like, I remember going into the concourse at half time, and there's this old guy behind me just going, it's just like Norwich, it's just like listing all the finals I've been in. It's just like Swindon, but he was like, there's a lot more colourful language. I remember it all, and we went in, come back out at half-time, scored straight away. I remember the elation when that goal went in, and then we scored again not long after. But what I always remember about that goal is Bally nearly gets you in the first time, and the defender blocks it, and everyone goes like, ooh. And then he heads it, and you're in. I mean, What's going, like, obviously our end as well, so what's going through your mind in that moment when you're going through on goal and then you're at Wembley? I mean, I mean, maybe I'm overplaying it, I don't know, because it's instinctive, but...
Yeah, it's funny actually, because I watched the game back full the other day. They showed the whole game on Sky, it was last week, and I don't think I've ever really sat down and watched that whole game, but I did, and you're right, you know... We were poor in the first half. I never really got a sniff at all of goal. And I was, you know, I was thinking, is my chance going to come? And, you know, when Kevin Ball headed it over the top, and I instinctively, first I thought, am I onside? Am I offside? But, you know, play to the whistle, as we tell everyone. And I just remember, you know, I could read the bounce of the ball. I knew that I have to take this first time, because I knew Sasa Ilić was on his way out. And my first thought was, I'm going to lift it over him, but I thought, he's such a tall guy, it's going to have to be.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, perfect. And I have to say, as soon as it left my foot, I was praying that it didn't take a spin bounce and go, you know, hit the post or miss the goal completely. And, you know, as soon as I see the bounce and it hit the back of the net, I was just, my first thought was, great, scored. I don't know whether I actually thought I broke the record. I just thought, I've put us in front. You know, is this going to be the goal that will take us to the Premier League? And running over to our support, the noise again was just, you know, incredible. If you were in it, you were in amongst it, you would know it was just amazing. And my I think you see when everyone got off me and I put my two hands to my head,
yeah.
That was my celebration of I broke Brian Clough's records, and hopefully that could be the winning goal. So it was it was fantastic, but then to have to come off after 63 minutes, I think it was, and then watch that game unfold, not being able to do anything about it was tough, very, very, very tough to see that happen.
The DCO chance after that yeah. one. Which is a, that was right in that cut where you came to celebrate, that's where we were. It was...
You can ruin the senior golf.
Yeah.
That's why he went to the corner.
Yeah, he's heard.
This is for you.
Yeah. But it was like... I mean, it was... I still remember, like, so much of a ridiculous game. Like, the whole thing. And to lose it the way we did, like, just... I remember again the blow behind, and when Mickey Gray missed a penalty, he just went, "Oh, we're lost." And like I turned around, yeah. And my dad was like, "You know,
just off,
like, off. I've gone, he's gone." So me and like my stepmom were following him out, and I mean, it was
horrible.
I mean,
I can remember. It's strange that the little out. Things you can remember, and I can remember when he missed. Just, I would never forget the first thing I saw was Mark Bright, who I think was must have been a sub for Charlton or a player for Charlton.
Right, please. Did he score?
Yeah, he did. No, I don't think he scored, but he played. But I just remember him kicking the ball out.
Mendonca scored.
Yeah. I just remember him kicking the ball up in the air and celebrating. It's just a strange memory I've got that he was just, because he was in my eye line.
You always have weird memories of these things, don't you? Mine are bad memories. I didn't want to watch when Mick Gray was taking it, then being in tears because we'd lost. And hearing that, and just being really annoyed that they'd been promoted and were playing Red Robin. I just thought it was so, like, lame. And then Walking on Sunshine came on as we were leaving the ground. And going home, Forest fans had put this massive banner, like, hanging over this bridge over one of the roads we were going up, saying, like, "Oh, well done, Charlton, joining Forest and Borough in the Premier League," and that. The game itself feels like a massive blur to me, but these, like, sort of, that was my first and only time at that version of Wembley as well. And also that it was just like a horrible old place, and like rivers of urine going down the steps. Just like a dreadful place.
Well, I remember we got a programme, and I had it up my top. I went to the toilet, forgot, dropped it. Went in this like two inches of piss on the floor, but like it cost a fortune, right?
So yeah, 10 quid then. Yeah. Programs,
So I was like, I didn't want to get wrong off my dad, so I cleaned it.
And then
as we were walking up the stairs, as we were coming up the steps, walked in, and Rufus scored. Literally as we walked in, and this, so I missed the goal. Just heard them celebrating. So it was not a very good 5 minutes for me as a human being.
Very rough.
Richard Dawson's tears call. Gareth picking up pissy covered programme.
What was the
I wasn't there myself.
Yeah. I mean, we talking about our experiences as fans, Kevin, and how we've had a few of Sunderland fans, but it was crushing that. It was really, really crushing, and I imagine the dressing room would have been like a morgue as well.
Yeah, it was, you know, by the time he got back to the dressing room, I think I certainly left the pitch. I didn't want to see Charlton get him, you know, as much as should have showed respect, but I didn't want to see it them being handed the trophy. So I made my way down to the tunnel and the change rooms pretty quick. And we all started coming in dribs and drabs. And as you can imagine, there was tears. There was a bit of anger, people throwing boots. But the time everyone got in the dressing room, there was a silence. And even Reedy and Bobby Saxon and the coaching staff, everyone who was in there, was dead quiet. And then all of a sudden, you know, Reedy says his little bit about the game and it goes quiet again. And then Quinny stands up and he just went, and I always remember it, he just said, "Look, what are we going to do?" He said, "We can sit, we can mope, we can let it ruin our summer, we can cry about it." He said, "What we need to get... do all that now," he said, "and as soon as we leave here this afternoon, we get on the bus, We have a good drink tonight. We enjoy the evening. And then we never mention it again. And I mean, when we come back for pre-season, it's not mentioned. And by the time he'd finished that, I think the lads started talking. And, you know, I think that speech from Big Niall was just inspired us to, one, enjoy the evening, two, try and enjoy your summer, but three, when we reported back for pre-season, nothing was mentioned at the playoff final. We were focused and determined to push on again, because Quinny said, we'll win the league next season. And we all thought, yeah, that's small talk. But when we started thinking about it, and with the additions that the gaffer made, you know, it turned out to be, you know, an incredible season. And we won it at Canter, really, didn't we? We absolutely dominated the league. And I was just going to say, it's crazy, and I've said it before. I actually personally, in my opinion, didn't think the time was right for us to go up. Of course, we'd have loved to go up, and I would never have, you know, not wanted to go up at that time. But when I sit and reflect, I think another season of us young squad together, coupled with the experience that we had, the new signings, the experience and playing together for another season really stood us in good stead for when we got promoted to the Premier League, as you well know, when we finished seventh twice. So I actually think not going up, as much as it hurt us, probably set us in good stead for the next season and the following two after that.
Did anybody say anything to Lionel Perez?
No one blamed. There wasn't a blame game. No one said anything to anyone.
Did you feel like it?
No one was saying anything. The only time I've seen Lionel Perez grab hold of a comedian by the throat when we've had a players awards evening, when he said something about his wife jokingly, Lionel grabbed him by the throat in front of everyone. So no one was going to mess with Lionel Perez. He was mad, but it wasn't a time for blame game. You know, we could have quite easily come in and ripped into Michael Gray, but no one would do that. You know, he had the bottle to get up and do it. You know, I think Lionel Perez pulled off some great saves during the season to help us get to where we were. So it wasn't a blame game. It was more getting behind people.
And apparently, Bali always tells us the best ever night out on the way back that anyone's ever had.
And we used to have quite, you know, very good nights on the way back from games. That was one of the biggest things that I couldn't believe, as you know, when I first went there. We used to stop at Bobby Saxton's local pub where he lived near Sheffield. We used to go to this. I remember the first time we pulled up in this, what, 52-seater coach outside this little rural country pub. And you could see the people looking out thinking, what the hell is a bus doing here? And then to see a football team get off the bus and go in and have a couple of pints and play pool on the way back from a game was just incredible. But yeah, I think we stopped on the way back and had a drink, but we ran out of beer on the bus. And by the time we got back to the North East, I think the game was pretty quickly forgotten about. And it was a good night, bizarrely enough.
On a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.